Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and welcome to the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. This is a space for down-to-earth, honest conversations about what's really going on in your body in your 40s and how to support yourself through it. If you're feeling a bit out of sync, overwhelmed, or just not quite like yourself, you're in the right place. So let's get into today's episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode and another week. So today, I wanted to talk about something that I think every woman needs to hear because it's one of the biggest reasons women end up feeling confused or dismissed or convinced that they're imagining things as they move through perimenopause. When most people think about this phase of life, they think about the obvious symptoms, you know, the hot flushes, missed periods or heavy headaches, mood issues, those kind of more obvious, more well-known symptoms of this phase. But what about the things like itchy ears, gum issues, sensitive teeth, histamine reactions, so itchiness, you know, in other parts of the body, tinnitus, phantom smells, that's something I get a lot, alcohol intolerance, does definitely seem to hit a lot of us, dry eyes, all of these could be connected as well, and other random things that we're going to cover as we go through. And a listener recently asked me to cover the unusual but common symptoms that nobody talks about. And then she went on to say, you know, the weird and kooky stuff, which I liked. So, I really wanted to talk about this topic. I do love this topic because so many women experience these symptoms and they don't connect them to perimenopause. And sometimes neither does their doctor. And it's not to say that, okay, let's find out about all these new weird, kooky symptoms and then just chalk everything up to perimenopause and not do anything about them. Like, for example, get them checked in case they aren't just about perimenopause and it's actually related to something else. That's not what I'm saying at all, because we really don't want to be doing that. But it is helpful to have more of an idea of the impact of changes in estrogen and progesterone on the rest of the body. But of course, you know, we still, if things are persisting or, you know, worrying us, we still do want to get them looked at. But then there's the case where people don't realize that these could be linked to perimenopause and their change in hormones. And they do pursue, you know, go to the doctor, which is rightly what they should be doing. But sometimes they come away just feeling dismissed, or they're being referred to various specialists and not really coming away with an answer. And actually, if they understood that potentially their hormones are involved, it could help to relieve some of that anxiety or pressure around the particular symptom. And then, of course, if they know how to support their body through this change, it can bring some relief to these symptoms. So there's sort of two sides of that part of it. But yeah, so it could be the unusual but common symptoms like acne. This is something we associate with teenagers or, you know, our younger years. But acne can just either resurface itself in our 40s or completely new. Like someone like myself, I've never had acne. I haven't yet had it in perimenopause. I could, I don't know. So it could be that you never have had it before and then suddenly you're breaking out in acne. Or like I say, it's come back. Hair loss, thinning hair, shedding hair. Those itchy ears, as I said, tinnitus, so the ringing in the ears, dry eyes, dry skin, dry other things. Obviously, we all know about vaginal dryness, but this is, you know, we're talking about other parts of the body being so dry that maybe you're just itching like mad. I've told this story before, but I seem to have this random itchy section of my wrist. It's just this one, my right wrist, it's just this little itchy patch and nothing else itches apart from this little patch. Really random. Sensitive teeth as well, gum issues, depression, phantom smells. One of the most common, or two of the common phantom smells, are smoking. So I say this all the time to my partner. I'm like, can you smell that? Someone's just started smoking. It's like, no, there's nothing there and there's nobody there. And sewer smells. So we had this in the flat that we were living in before we moved recently. And I used to call him into the bathroom and say, can you smell that? You know, smell the sewage in our bathroom. It's like, must be something wrong with our plumbing. And he'd say, no, I can't smell anything. And he doesn't want to, he's like, I'm sorry, I don't want to gaslight you, but I really can't smell it. And then I read about the phantom smells and sewer smells being one of the most common ones. So there you go. So let's talk about why these random things can happen. So one of the reasons perimenopause creates such a huge variety of symptoms is because estrogen doesn't only affect our reproductive system, our ovaries. Estrogen receptors are found all over the body. So the brain, skin, which is its own organ, eyes, mouth, ears, bladder, vagina, urethra, gut, the cardiovascular system, your heart, bones, joints, basically everywhere. So having receptors on the cells within these systems, they're basically like little doorways on the cells that let the hormone in. And if we have doorways, receptors on the cells for a certain hormone or brain chemical, that's because we need that specific compound in that cell for those organs to work well, those parts and, you know, the systems to work well. So it just goes to show how impactful physiologically estrogen and progesterone is in the body, because all of these different systems need it. So when estrogen starts fluctuating in perimenopause, it starts this erratic nature, this erratic up and down nature, and eventually declining. The effects can be felt throughout the body, you know, because of all these different systems needing this hormone. So when it's fluctuating, when it's declining, these systems also change and get impacted. And that helps to explain why the latest research, I talked about it in my previous episode, some research, that menopause research has just done with a team of people, identified over 103 symptoms associated with perimenopause and menopause. Because of this, you know, the fact that estrogen is affecting so many different parts of the body, if not all of them. So let's start with one of the most common but least talked about effects, and that's dryness. Most women, as I said, we know about vaginal dryness. Again, a very common thing that I've known about since I was a young teen, and hot flashes. But many people don't realize that declining estrogen can reduce lubrication and moisture that gets produced throughout the body's mucous membranes. So we have mucous membranes lining areas like eyes, nose, mouth, sinuses, throat, the digestive tract, the bladder, the urethra, and the vagina. So as estrogen is erratic, as it declines, as it has sharp drops as part of the roller coaster, as it declines later on, those tissues in all of those areas can become thinner and then drier and more sensitive. And that can mean that a lot of women start to notice dry eyes that they maybe never had before, gritty eyes, contact lenses suddenly becoming uncomfortable, dry mouth, increased dental sensitivity, so gum issues, sensitive teeth, a dry nose, more nosebleeds or new nosebleeds, recurrent UTIs, vaginal dryness, and painful intercourse. And often they never realise that hormones might be involved. I think maybe with vaginal dryness, yeah, we think, oh, this could be low estrogen. But with all those other things, we don't, unless we really do know this stuff, we don't tend to connect the dots there. So let's get into itchy ears, itchy skin, other random itching, like my random right wrist. This one surprises people. A lot of women can suddenly develop, like I say, itchy ears, itchy scalp, itchy skin, crawling sensations. I hear that a lot as well, without any obvious explanation. Partly, as we've just said, that can be related to the skin becoming drier. So those mucous membranes losing that lubrication because it's losing estrogen. But it can also be related to histamine. So estrogen and histamine have a complicated, annoying relationship. Higher histamine levels can increase estrogen, and higher estrogen levels can increase histamine, and, like, you know, can be a bit of a vicious cycle. And that raised levels of histamine, so more histamine being released in the body, which is released by the immune system, can contribute to itching, flushing, so skin flushing, facial flushing. So that's why, you know, if you have that glass of red wine and you get a facial flush, it's usually a histamine reaction. It can be something else, but it could more likely be histamine. Skin sensitivity, however that shows up for you as an individual, and even anxiety. Histamine can contribute to anxiety and palpitations, heart palpitations as well. This is one of the reasons a lot of women, or some women, notice that these symptoms fluctuate throughout their cycle. So you might find that, for example, just before the body's due to ovulate, whether it does or not, is another thing. But when it's due to ovulate, estrogen, it rises. It naturally rises in the lead up to ovulation to try and get the ovaries to actually release an egg and ovulate. And that can be a time in the cycle where we notice these histamine reactions, symptoms more. And then also around our period as well, it can be due to not necessarily having too high levels of estrogen in the body, but this kind of estrogen dominant situation where we have relative to progesterone, there's, you know, estrogen is a little bit higher relative to progesterone, and that can cause these histamine symptoms as well. So if you suddenly feel more reactive to wine, certain foods, allergies, you're getting itching, headaches, flushing, or random congestion, you've never had hay fever, or you know it's not hay fever, it could be estrogen and progesterone and their weird relationship, basically, to histamine, their complex relationship, I should say. Your liver and your gut play a big role here too. Your gut is where you break down your histamine. There's a specific enzyme in the gut called DIO. I have talked about this before on a histamine episode. And if you want more information on, you know, if you want to dive deeper into histamine, there isn't a separate episode on it. And so that's this DIO enzyme is in the gut. But if we have any digestive issues, you know, gut issues in the microbiome, imbalances in the microbiome, then that can lead to a buildup of histamine as well, because we're not efficiently, you know, processing it and breaking it down. The same goes for estrogen. If, you know, the liver is responsible, again, I've got separate episodes on how the liver detoxifies, breaks down your used estrogen. The liver is responsible for processing that. It breaks down your used estrogen and metabolizes it, and then it sends it to the gut for permanent elimination from the body. And if either of those systems or both of them aren't working efficiently, that can then lead to this backup of estrogen in the body, leading to, again, the raised sort of histamine reaction type symptoms, and even mood issues, heavy periods, clotting, breast pain, and so on. So let's talk about acne. Why am I getting acne suddenly at 45? I hear women say. So this is another big one. Women will say, I've had clear skin for 20 years now. I had acne as a teen. And now here I am again with acne again. Do you remember I've said, if you've listened to my previous episodes, and I've talked about something that a couple of perimenopause specialist doctors have said in lectures that I've been on over the years, which is that perimenopause is like puberty in reverse. And it really is, because that's what's happening in puberty. The brain to ovary communication is just coming online for the very first time, getting us ready to start our menstrual cycling decades before we then eventually go to menopause. And then perimenopause is reversing that journey. It's getting us ready to winding down to when we will no longer have our menstrual cycles and produce estrogen and progesterone from our ovaries. So it is like a reversal of the whole thing. And then typically we tend to get the same sort of symptoms come back and bite us again. So when I first started having my periods, and I know the same for a lot of my friends and other women, the first couple of years was random. You know, periods were irregular. They were so heavy, so painful, clotty, breast pain, just awful PMS. And that sort of died down when I was around maybe 18, 19. And I was okay until perimenopause hit. And now suddenly I'm getting, you know, I've managed to bypass it all now, but for a little period of time there, I was getting very heavy, painful flow, breast pain again. It just felt like puberty in reverse. But I think maybe because I've never had acne, that wasn't something that came for me. And that's not to say you won't have the acne issue in perimenopause if you've never had it. I don't know that. But this particular person had said they had battled with acne as a teen in puberty, and now it's come back as they're in perimenopause. And that must be really, really upsetting and annoying. And the issue isn't necessarily high testosterone, which is usually, it can be an underlying reason. But it's usually that the balance between hormones is now changing. Estrogen and progesterone fluctuate and decline. Testosterone can become relatively more dominant. So it's not necessarily that we have high testosterone, and it wasn't even that we had high testosterone when we were teens. It was that because estrogen was fluctuating so much back then, just like it now is, again, in our reverse puberty, and progesterone is declining, it makes that testosterone level, which could be absolutely normal and healthy, it just makes it higher relative to those two other hormones. And then that can create the situation of acne. So that can, yeah, starts to increase oil production in the skin, congestion, the breakouts, and jawline acne specifically. So that is a big one. Blood sugar dysregulation can also contribute to acne, because it can contribute to the sort of imbalance of hormones, essentially, because with blood sugar dysregulation, we're going to naturally start to have raised insulin, and that can also play a bit of a part in a roundabout way. And then we've got hair loss, hair thinning, hair shedding. Hair loss can be incredibly distressing, totally. Again, changing hormone ratios can play a role. So lower estrogen means less support for the hair growth cycle. Estrogen is very important for the hair follicle. And then relative androgen dominance, androgen being testosterone, as an example, could be contributing to thinning. So again, if we can still have very healthy, normal levels of testosterone, maybe even low levels of testosterone, but relative to estrogen and progesterone, if it's becoming the dominant hormone in some women at some stages as they move through perimenopause, remember things evolve all the time, that can leave them relative to, testosterone dominant, and that can be an issue for them. But this is where I always encourage women to not just assume it's just my hormones, it's just perimenopause. Hair loss can also be linked to low iron, so low ferritin. Really important to get your ferritin levels checked. That shows your stores of iron. And even if you're told, oh, they're normal, ask for the number. Look at the reference range. Unfortunately, the standard conventional reference range for ferritin is very wide. So I can't remember off the top of my head what it is. So just for example, let's say it's 10 to 130. If you're 10, you're likely to be told it's normal. That's not normal though, is it? In a reference range that's that wide, how is being at the very, very lowest end of it okay? It's absolutely not okay. So get the number, have a look at it, do a bit of research into what the optimal level, the reference range is, because it's a lot. That's the one that I would use, for example, in my practice. Again, I haven't got it to hand, but do some research. Ask me what is the optimal reference range for ferritin then, and compare your number to that, and then see, oh, actually, I am low ferritin. I probably do need to start increasing my iron-rich foods and supporting my digestion to make sure I can actually absorb the iron that I'm eating, maybe taking a good quality, gentle iron supplement. And that can help a lot of women. Then we've got thyroid dysfunction. So low underactive thyroid is heavily associated with thinning hair. Getting that checked, getting a comprehensive thyroid panel, not just looking at TSH. We want to look at T4, free T4, free T3, ideally looking at the two main thyroid antibodies as well, because Hashimoto's thyroiditis is also a big cause of underactive thyroid, which is often missed. A lot of women can be put on thyroxine, T4 medication, not medication, it's a hormone replacement therapy essentially for thyroid. But actually not finding what the root cause is of their issue, and they can still have that hair thinning as well. Other nutritional deficiencies, zinc, B6, folate, all can contribute. Chronic stress, big driver of thinning hair, low protein intake. So sometimes these things coexist alongside perimenopause. And this is why we want to test things. We want to look at the bigger picture. Because we never just want to say, oh, that's just another perimenopause symptom. Like I said, this research has identified 103 symptoms. We don't want to have a list of 103 symptoms and tick them all off and say, yeah, but they're all just perimenopause, so I have to deal with it. No, you don't. It's just important to understand they can be linked to perimenopause, but let's also find out why, how, what the underlying issue might be that we can address, even though it is perimenopause as well. And we don't have to have these symptoms. We can move through perimenopause without these symptoms. I know that because I'm doing it. It's not to say I don't have any symptoms. Of course I do. I have my own battles, but I see them, and they are, to me, they're information. Certain things are out of balance. This is information that XYZ is out of balance. You need to address this. You need to address that. And I address it. And then these symptoms do, for the most part, disappear. One thing I just consistently struggle with is fatigue and low energy. But that is my picture. That is my story. That's my history, you know, my sort of health history coming to bite me. And there are various things that I know that I need to be doing that I'm probably not doing well enough and so on. But yeah, hopefully that just helps to give you some insight there. Okay, so tinnitus. Some people say tinnitus. I've always said tinnitus. But maybe it's tinnitus. The ringing in the ear. So a lot of women noted ringing, buzzing or humming in their ears during perimenopause. Again, this isn't something I've had. So I don't know how, I can only imagine like how annoying it must be. Some women will say they notice it at night as soon as they get into bed. So horrible. That must be extremely, extremely annoying and upsetting. That's when you just don't need that. So the exact mechanisms behind this aren't actually fully understood. And like a lot of symptoms in perimenopause, we do link them to perimenopause, but we might not still fully understand the underlying, you know, the mechanisms behind it. Whereas with a lot of them, you can, as you know, a specialist practitioner can. But with this one, we don't. We know estrogen influences blood flow, nerve signaling, brain chemicals, neurotransmitters, auditory processing within the brain and the inner ear. So that is possibly the link. Again, we don't know the mechanism. Some women notice tinnitus appears or worsens during hormonal shifts. So again, various times in their cycle, if you're still cycling, if you're tracking your cycle, you know, we can still have quote unquote normal cycles, but estrogen is erratic now rather than more gently ebbing and flowing. So we might notice, you know, like I said, in the lead up to just after the lead up to ovulation, where estrogen climbs up, it then takes a bit of a dip just before the body ovulates. Now, before perimenopause, that dip wouldn't necessarily be noticed by us. But because we're now in perimenopause and we've got estrogen swinging more erratically, the dip can become a lot sharper. And so we might notice certain symptoms, including the ringing in the ears, worsening or appearing just in this time. Again, just before our period, estrogen is at its lowest and progesterone as well, always has been. But before perimenopause, that low might not have been as low as it is now because these sharp drops, you know, they tend to go a lot lower than they did before. So, yeah, of course, it's not always caused by perimenopause, but it could be a contributing factor. So the next one I want to talk about is phantom smells. This is one of the strangest symptoms. Like I said, a lot of women report cigarette smoke, burning. That's another one I've smelt before. Something's burning. No, it isn't. Sewage or chemicals. So for me, I've had the cigarette smoke, the burning, the sewage. I get the sewage a lot. And when no one can smell anything, my partner's like, what do you think? There's no sewage smell in here. So this phenomenon is called phantosmia. I think that's the right way to say it. Phantosmia. So it sort of sounds, you know, like phantom smells, basically. And again, the mechanisms aren't completely understood, but we know hormones, as I said, influence sensory processing within the brain. So that could be a part of it. And as your hormones fluctuate, as estrogen fluctuates, progesterone declines, that affects the neurotransmitters, the chemicals in the brain, and brain signaling. And so some women notice temporary changes in smell perception. Like, I don't smell sewage every day or cigarette smoke every day. It could be once in a blue moon, it could be once a month, it could be once every 2 months. It's random. And because our hormones are so random in perimenopause, they're changing all the time anyway during the menstrual cycle before we get to perimenopause. But like I say, once we're in perimenopause, it's even more random. It's just even more. So very unusual, the phantom smells, but definitely not unheard of if it resonates with you. That's not to say, you know, just a little disclaimer here. If you do smell burning, do check it out just in case it is real. So a lot of women, as I said, when we move into, you know, when we talk about perimenopause, menopause, we talk about hot flushes. It's one of the most commonly known ones, but it's becoming now, like when I said this new research has found 103 symptoms, that particular research, I think they said they found that hot flushes didn't even feature in the top 20, I think, because what's even more common is actually the emotional symptoms. anxiety, low mood, loss of confidence, loss of motivation, depression. These are among the most common symptoms reported by women. So estrogen affects serotonin. So the declining nature of estrogen will lead to a decline in serotonin. The sharp drops of estrogen, even if we have very normal levels, very healthy levels of estrogen, because of the erratic nature of it, that roller coaster, the sharp drop portions, in the day or week, whatever, can lead to a drop in serotonin then. And then when it actually starts its genuine decline later on, you know, maybe always having low serotonin. It also affects dopamine. It affects GABA. That dopamine is the motivation, the focus. GABA, so serotonin is the sort of calming, happiness, joyful. Also gets converted into melatonin to help us sleep at night. GABA is the brain calming, anti-anxiety one. All of these are influencing our mood, our motivation, our emotional resilience in some way. And that's why one of the reasons why perimenopause can feel much more than a hormonal transition. It feels like it is a mental and emotional challenge and roller coaster for a lot of us. I've certainly been there in the last year more than ever. Up until a year ago, I was just sort of fighting a few little fires like sleep issues or heavy periods and, you know, moving past all of these things because I knew what to do. But in the last year, I've felt it as more of an emotional and mental and cognitive challenge and roller coaster. And, you know, it can be really disconcerting. It can really start to make you feel some days like, oh, this is just awful. I just don't want to have this any longer. And, you know, I always feel like I don't know how I'm going to feel on any given day. And I find that really annoying for like planning social events. If I really want to do something with someone and I put it in my diary and I'm looking forward to it, but then the day arrives and I'm like, oh, I don't want to today. I don't feel up to it. I wish I could have done this yesterday when I felt good, but we'd booked it for today. So it can just make things feel really hard, really challenging. You know, it can sometimes feel like your personality's changed. I know for me, sometimes I feel like I don't know who I am anymore. Some days, you know, I'm not making it sound like this awful, awful, awful time, but just to hopefully, if that resonates, you're not alone. I can sometimes just feel like I just want my personality back, and it comes back, but then it's just not always there all the time. Just definitely, again, something to consider that it's linked to perimenopause. Again, it doesn't mean we just leave it alone because it's linked to perimenopause. We understand it and then we support ourselves. And that's what, as I've said on previous episodes all the time, that's what my whole podcast is about. So if you haven't listened to previous episodes, like, do go back and pick on the episodes that resonate with you, if not hopefully all of them, because it's about understanding why these things are potentially happening and then supporting ourselves, not just saying, oh, okay, they are perimenopause, so it's just perimenopause, I'll chalk it up to that and leave it. We do need to support ourselves through it as well. And just to quickly say, with regards to like anxiety, fatigue, things like that, low ferritin, coming back to low ferritin again, always get that checked. It's really important in perimenopause to get things like thyroid fully worked up, ferritin, folate, B12, vitamin D, really good time to do these things because they can sort of mimic a lot of things as well. Right. I wanted to move on to gums. So estrogen, as I said, it lubricates the mucous membranes. So it's really helpful for tissue health, that kind of lubrication of joints and all those different other systems of the body that I mentioned, you know, skin, eyes, mouth, etc. So estrogen affects collagen, which is what helps to keep everything plump and also lubricated, and it impacts inflammation. So as we, it's a lovely anti-inflammatory hormone, so when we start to lose it and when it's erratic, that can create, we lose that sort of anti-inflammatory benefit from it, and it affects tissue health, which means that that's why these hormone shifts can show up in our mouth. So as I said earlier, we might find our gums bleed, our teeth feel more sensitive, we have a dry mouth more often than not than we did before, even bad breath. So if these things start to show up in your 40s, I would think, okay, this could be linked to hormones. Again, it doesn't mean, oh, right, it's perimenopause, I'll leave it. it's an understanding that it could be linked to your hormones. So again, what can you do to support, you know, hormonal health as a whole, but also being more mindful now about looking after your oral health. You know, get flossing every day if you're not already doing it. Don't be skipping a day. No matter how tired you are, just do try and get flossing every day. You know, go and see a hygienist every 6 months. Just taking extra care. But obviously oral health also is affected by the rest of your body, particularly your gut health as well. So I'm just trying to think if I've missed any other random symptoms. There are lots of other random symptoms. Feel free to write to me, DM me on Instagram, send me an email if there's other random symptoms that I haven't covered, because I would love to hear about them. Somebody messaged me today on Instagram and said, is a sharp sort of shooting pain or sensation in one side of the head potentially a perimenopause symptom? Now, first of all, the first thing I did say to this person is please get this checked. Yes, of course it could be. There, like I said earlier, estrogen impacts inner ear and our neurological system, basically the brain. So it could be linked to perimenopause change in hormones. But we don't just want to dismiss symptoms because they might be perimenopause. Something like that should be looked into. We may need to get a referral to a specialist just to check that there's nothing sinister going on. And then at least we can relax knowing there's nothing dangerous here. It's potentially, you know, linked to the kind of migraine pathway, the same sort of pathway that's where our hormones can impact those pathways that could bring about a migraine. It could be something to do with that. So yeah, just wanted to put that out there as well. So if you've been finding yourself thinking, this is so random, this can't be perimenopause, various symptoms, I do hope this episode helps to reassure you that hormones influence a lot more than your periods, than hot flushes and your mood. Perimenopause, as I've said it before, and I've got previous episodes on this whole body kind of approach to perimenopause, this whole body systems approach, it is a whole body transition. Every single system in the body is being impacted because, like I said, estrogen receptors and even progesterone receptors, but estrogen receptors specifically, are found throughout the body, everywhere. So symptoms can appear in places that you'd never expect. And that, like I said, it doesn't mean every symptom is caused by perimenopause, but it does mean we shouldn't dismiss unusual symptoms simply because they don't fit the traditional perimenopause narrative that it could be linked. But it equally doesn't mean you just ignore it because it's potentially a perimenopause symptom. So I hope what I'm saying is making sense. But the more we understand what's happening, number one, the less frightening it is, the less confusing it is, and the more enjoyable this transition can be, because we're going to learn what we can do to support ourselves. And like I said, I hope that all of my previous episodes provide a lot of learning on what we can do to support the body. That's what this whole podcast is about. And it's even, you know, my earlier episodes were all about what's happening in perimenopause. So like episodes 3, 4, 5, and 6 or whatever, what's happening to estrogen, to progesterone, what's that causing, how it makes you feel, and what you can do. So do go back and binge listen if you haven't already. If you've just recently found the podcast, I definitely encourage you to go back. Obviously you can just listen from now on, but I do think if you've got the time, you know, just do it while you're doing the housework, on a walk, commuting, whatever it might be, in the car, and just plug into the old episodes, because, you know, don't be put off by going back nearly 2 years now I've been doing this, just under 2 years, because they're all still very, very, very relevant today. All right, before I go, just to remind you, if you haven't taken my free perimenopause quiz yet, that is a great place to start if you're looking for some sort of, more personalized insight into what your body might need right now. You can take that quiz for free. I'll link it in the show notes for you. And if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, this is me and I don't want to figure it out alone, you can come and join the Midlife Thrive membership. It's a place to come and understand what's happening in your body in even more detail, take things all at your own pace, learn what actually helps, and get support and feel supported every step of the way. And it's a low cost monthly cancel anytime membership. So if that sounds like something that you'd benefit from, I will have the link to that in the show notes as well. All right, see you next time. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode and you're wanting a bit more support, there's a few ways I can help you. You can take my free perimenopause quiz, join my Midlife Thrive membership, or work with me one-to-one. And I'll leave all the details in the show notes. And if this episode resonated, I'd love you to share it with someone who might need to hear it too. Thank you so much for being here. It really means a lot. And I'll see you in the next episode.